History in the background, president in the foreground.
I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Berliner.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Years ago, Presidents Kennedy and Reagan challenged the present in Berlin and created the future with speeches watched by the whole world. Today, President Obama speaks from Cairo. The Berlin Wall backdrop has changed. The urgency of the present moment has not. Taglines, anyone? How about Ismi Masrawi? Obama talking like an Egyptian on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Thursday, June 4th. I'm John Hockenberry. Will history be made today? We'll find out. I'm here with Andrea Bernstein. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, John. Coming up this hour, we'll have everything you need to know about the president's much-anticipated speech. We'll have live coverage of the speech, plus analysis and reaction from around the world, from Michigan to Cairo to Jerusalem. We'll talk Muslims in America and abroad, and we'll look ahead to what's next. All the day's news and more ahead, but first, the top headlines.
And in the top headlines, as we begin our complete coverage, President Obama will start his speech in just a few moments, but he's already spoken with the media during his meeting with President Hosni Mubarak.
We discussed the situation with Israel and the Palestinians. We discussed how we can move forward in a constructive way that brings about peace and prosperity for all people in the region.
A crowd has gathered waiting for the president's speech to begin in Cairo. Many more will watch on television screens around the world. Egyptian newspaper editor Hala Mustaf says the Arab world hopes for a positive message.
They need to be assured that the United States and the Americans in general are not looking to the Muslims as terrorists or extremists.
This is a 21st century media moment. The White House, as expected, is pushing the speech out to the Muslim world in multiple languages via text messages and online media. One bit of reaction already. Iran's supreme leader says the Middle East hates America and that speeches alone won't improve the U.S. image there. Andrea?
Beijing's Tiananmen Square is under strict police protection now. China's government doesn't want protests marking the deadly military crackdown on pro-democracy activists 20 years ago. The final death toll will never be known, but could be in the thousands. The government is also censoring foreign news networks and websites inside the country. Staying in Asia, the Russian news agency TASS is reporting that two American journalists are now on trial in North Korea. They're charged with
illegal entry, I believe, and they've been in jail since the government picked them up back in March. The investigators in the Air France flight, which broke apart before crashing into the Atlantic Ocean, they believe that the plane did break up. No indication yet what caused all this to happen. Same-sex couples in New Hampshire can start planning their weddings. The governor's signature on a new bill means weddings can take place as soon as January. Got some sports?
In sports, the NBA finals start tonight. The Orlando Magic visits the Los Angeles Lakers in the best-of-seven series. Hockey's Stanley Cup final is already underway.
Dow and the S&P dropped yesterday, but the S&P begins trading at 9:31. Full coverage of Barack Obama's speech in Cairo. It's highly anticipated. How important is it to you? There was a taxi driver this morning who told me Barack Obama's the first president to listen to Muslims. What do you think? 877-8-MY-TAKE, mytake@thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning to you. If you listen carefully, you can hear behind me the sound of people gathering, waiting to hear Barack Obama's speech to the people of Cairo, Egypt, and also to the Muslim world, a highly anticipated speech. Good morning. I'm John Hockenberry with Andrea Bernstein. You followed Barack Obama around the campaign trail, and you remember my cynicism about campaign speeches and inaugural speeches. I'm wondering if you think, Andrea, a speech like this from Cairo explicitly to the Muslim world has a chance of being more or less significant than all those campaign speeches we talked about.
I would say more, obviously now because he's the president of the United States, but he's speaking to pretty much everybody. He's speaking to Afghanis, Iraqis, Iranians, Israelis, and of course, Americans, both American Muslims, who some of them feel he has some repairing to do, and Americans who during the campaign said, I'm not voting for him because he's a Muslim. So he's got a big agenda.
Certainly. And it's a big speech. The text has already been released. We may be able to give you some highlights if things are delayed, but we do expect the president to speak momentarily from Cairo, Egypt. Joining us to tell us what is at stake from a variety of perspectives are Professor Peter Ahn, Director of Middle East Studies at Columbia University, here in the studio. Peter, thanks for joining us.
A pleasure.
Also, our friend Noah Feldman, Professor of Law at Harvard and author of The Rise and Fall of the Islamic State in the Fall and Rise of the Islamic State, I believe. Noah Feldman is in Boston. Noah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, Peter Ahn, what do you think is at stake here? Is this a significant historic Ich bin ein Berliner kind of moment, or just a bit of diplomacy that we're overplaying here?
I see it as part of a process. He began in Turkey with an important speech reaching out to the Islamic community, and now I think he's going to be more specific in terms of the clear issues he thinks are at stake between Islamic countries and the United States. But remember, you can't talk to 200 million Muslims at once about the same things. This is focused predominantly on the Arab world and the Arab-Israeli crisis.
Noah Feldman, what do you think? Symbolism or programmatic offerings from the president when he begins in perhaps 2 minutes from now?
There's no question that he's going to try for the big symbolic push. The build-up to this speech that the administration has made has been pretty significant and extremely unusual. You know, the text of the speech, you may have it. I still haven't seen it. We're 5 minutes out. Usually you can get a presidential address at least a day beforehand. There's a website designed to pass this out throughout the Muslim world in lots of different languages, not just in Arabic. But in order to have a symbolic impact, he has to have some substance. He knows he can't come out and just say, you know, Islam and the United States are not at odds, never have been at odds, because President Bush said that. He can't even say that the United States has had the wrong policy in the Middle East, because President Bush said that too. He needs to do something that goes beyond simply symbolism.
Peter Ahn, you said that you didn't think the president could speak to 1 billion Muslim people at once, and yet he's trying. The State Department has set up a special website. They're translating the speech into 13 languages. It's being released via Twitter, Facebook, and MySpace. So clearly, they want to speak to as many people as they can.
There's no doubt that Muslims will be listening from around the world, but they're also going to ask, when is he going to deal with my local situation? I think
right.
All politics is local, as we know, and clearly their concerns have far more to do with what's going on in their region rather than the Arab-Israeli crisis.
And, of course, there are predictable references to women in Islam, the Arab-Israeli crisis, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Noah Feldman, is the timing more important than the actual rhetoric here in this speech? Because he's going to cover the same bases as George W. Bush.
Well, the timing for President Obama is really everything, and always has been, I think, at every stage. You know, he's such a transformative figure in the aspiration. You know, everybody in the United States, and I think many people in the world, think to themselves, we may be in for real change and are excited by that change. But then when you look at the policies one by one, of course, President Obama always has to act in the
The excitement you're hearing from Cairo as Barack Obama works his way through the crowd and actually comes to the podium in Cairo. We go now to live President Barack Obama speaking to Muslims in Cairo, Egypt, at Cairo University.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. I am honored to be in the timeless city of Cairo and to be hosted by two remarkable institutions. For over 1,000 years, Ulazar has stood as a beacon of Islamic learning. And for over a century, Cairo University has been a source of Egypt's advancement. And together, you represent the harmony between tradition and progress. I'm grateful for your hospitality and the hospitality of the people of Egypt. And I'm also proud to carry with me the goodwill of the American people and a greeting of peace from Muslim communities in my country. Assalamu alaikum. We meet at a time of great tension between the United States and Muslims around the world. Tension rooted in historical forces that go beyond any current policy debate. The relationship between Islam and the West includes centuries of coexistence and cooperation, but also conflict and religious wars. More recently, tension has been fed by colonialism that denied rights and opportunities to many Muslims, and a Cold War in which Muslim-majority countries were too often treated as proxies without regard to their own aspirations. Moreover, the sweeping change brought by modernity and globalization led many Muslims to view the West as hostile to the traditions of Islam. Violent extremists have exploited these tensions in a small but potent minority of Muslims. The attacks of September 11, 2001, and the continued efforts of these extremists to engage in violence against civilians have led some in my country to view Islam as inevitably hostile not only to America and Western countries, but also to human rights. All this has bred more fear and more mistrust. So long as our relationship is defined by our differences, we will empower those who sow hatred rather than peace, those who promote conflict rather than the cooperation that can help all of our people achieve justice and prosperity. And this cycle of suspicion and discord must end. I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles. Principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings. I do so recognizing that change cannot happen overnight. I know there's been a lot of publicity about this speech, but no single speech can eradicate years of mistrust, nor can I answer in the time that I have this afternoon all the complex questions that brought us to this point. But I am convinced that in order to move forward, we must say openly to each other the things we hold in our hearts and that too often are said only behind closed doors. There must be a sustained effort to listen to each other, to learn from each other, to respect one another, and to seek common ground. As the Holy Quran tells us, be conscious of God and speak always the truth. That is what I will try to do today, to speak the truth as best I can, humbled by the task before us, and firm in my belief that the interests we share as human beings are far more powerful than the forces that drive us apart. Now, part of this conviction is rooted in my own experience. I'm a Christian, but my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call.
We're listening to President Barack Obama live in Cairo, Egypt, speaking to the world and especially the Muslim world. Here on The Takeaway, we're going to pause four stations and rejoin the speech live. We want your reactions at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Stay with us.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.